Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go hook him up! I just whipped your ass. You take it all away. I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is ours to play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I'm your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
I'm doing pretty good. And we got our other co-host on the line, Katrina. What's going on, Katrina?
Not much. What's going on?
Not too much. Just getting ready to start the show. So, basically, I guess we're just doing, we're going to start off with some news of the week. So, Who wants to start that off?
Well, seeing how I have it right in front of me, I'll go ahead and start that. I first wanted to make mention, in the past few weeks, months, maybe year, I don't know, it seems that Ed and myself and Couture have all come to a point that we needed to freshen things up a bit on the radio show. And we are going to be looking into moving hosts and hopefully be able to give you better audio quality. And not so much, or aside from the audio quality of the show, we would like to improve our show in general. And to do that, we're going to do a few brand new news segments, or actually segments tonight. Ed's picked out one, Contreras picked out one, and I have picked out one, and we're going to do those this evening. And we would like some feedback from all of you listeners.
Don't believe the rumors that we're selling, that the show's for sale. Those are just internet rumors.
That is right. Yeah, the show is not for sale.
Well, if Billy Corgan wants to give me a lot of money, he can have the show.
That's fair. That's fair. And I will take one of his guitars. I'm okay with that. I'm cheap. So, anyway, we would like some feedback from our listeners. What can we do to improve the show? If there's something you really like, please let us know. If there's something that you absolutely hate and can't stand, well, we want to know that too. So I've set up an email address for us. You can email us anytime. Actually, you can email me anytime. And we are at, just very simple, overthetopradio@gmail.com. That's overthetopradio@gmail.com. I will read every email, and we will try to improve our show quality-wise and also content-wise. So we didn't have a whole lot to talk about this week. So, yes, we did throw some news together, and we're going to try out our new segments this evening. So we do thank you for listening. So we want to put out the best product that we can without breaking the bank, to be honest with you. And I think that's fair.
I don't think there is a bank.
That's true. Maybe we should do one of those Kickstarters like everybody else does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Or not.
I could use some free money.
You guys have anything to add?
No.
No, okay.
Yeah, not really. I mean, I think everything will be fine, so here we go.
Here we go. Okay, first up, if you watched Impact last night, well, AJ Styles was not there. But he has been defending his title. He defended it in Mexico, and AJ Styles' next title defense, TNA champion AJ Styles, will be heading to the Great Muda's Wrestle 1 promotion in Japan. He'll be defending the TNA title against Senye Sanada. How'd I do?
Okay. Sound like somebody from Canada.
Sure. Well, it's Canada with an S in front of it. Anyway, that's going to be on their 11/16 show. Jeff Jarrett appeared on the Wrestle 1 event after the two sides worked out a talent agreement during a Nashville meeting over the summer with Muda, and has appeared on Wrestle 1 events previously as well.
Now, regarding the AJ Styles thing from last night, they show, like, basically clips, and the clips were somehow they were put on Impact by friends of AJ Styles. Now, I want to know who his friends are, because AJ has been a dick, like, the last half a year, you know what I mean? I don't think he has any friends right now.
Apparently, it's somebody in the truck. Just,
I guess, surprised any of his friends that work for TNA could afford to add time. They're back. They don't pay.
Right?
At least they did it with a little common sense. They had, like, the paid ad time and then just, like, you know, had the company
right.
Show it.
I actually
kinda
did,
like,
not watch
what
all
the NWO
of it.
Did, what the NWO did back in, like, 96 with the paid ads on TV.
Well, I'm sure the friends of AJ Styles are getting better ad rates than what the NWO had to pay at the time.
Yeah, I didn't watch all of Impact last night. I did catch the main event and the opening segment. Other than that, I basically turned off the TV once the girls started wrestling. So let me refresh that. I turned off the TV once the girls got into the ring. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, because some of them are attractive. Two of them are attractive.
First off, the knockouts are, like, the best thing on TNA. I don't know why you wouldn't watch the whole thing.
Well, I watched me in the ring. Saw the pigeons and, yeah. Anyway, in other TNA news, Janice Carter sent out a memo regarding the TNA sale. Janice Carter sent out an email to the talent on the 1st of November telling them not to believe the rumors and that there are no sale talks. It read, and I quote, "As we embark on our Where Action Never Ends 365 initiative, I wanted to take this time to thank you for your dedication and enthusiasm to our company, company's renewed creative direction. I feel confident that together we are marching toward something great, a revolutionary way to experience professional wrestling. With this said, I'm aware of false rumors currently circulating that the Carter family and Panda Energy is attempting to sell the ownership stakes of TNA Wrestling. An unfortunate aspect of this business is that there are wrestling quote-unquote reporters who constantly post quote-unquote news stories without proper facts. I want to assure you
Brian.
That these are rumors, and Dave, I want to assure you that these are rumors and that I am committed to TNA and its future. While I typically find that responding to such rumors is a waste of time, I wanted to use this as a moment to express my support and delight for the creative direction we are moving in. Our work has just begun, and I look forward to a long and rewarding future with you and TNA." And it was signed Janice Carter, chairman of the board of Panda Energy.
Well, what do you think she's going to say? Where's she going to say?
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, everything you've heard is all true.
What did Billy Corgan have to say?
We did not get a comment
from
Mr. Corgan.
Despite what Dave said.
Actually, I got it right here.
Okay.
It says, despite all my rage, I am still just a rat in a cage.
No? From a song or something?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I thought
he
made some kind of Twitter remark about Dave. Like,
yeah, Dave said he'd something, but he wasn't sure he would be able to afford to, you know, and he came back and said Dave doesn't know about his finances or some such stuff. I don't know.
Well, I don't know, you know, I haven't seen his bank account or anything. I know he made a ton of money in the 90s, and after probably his third album with the Smashing Pumpkins, he has not gained any kind of success or sold a ton of albums after probably Siamese Dream, which was their third album. And they still tour. He has one original member of the band, and that's him. He plays to half-sold shows and half arenas, and as he's probably not hurting financially, I don't think he has the money of, let's say, Bruce Springsteen.
Dude, he can afford to have wrestling matches in a barn. He can afford to buy TNA.
I don't know. I don't know if he...
He did run a wrestling company like last couple of years, didn't he?
Yeah, he's still doing it.
Oh,
Revolution Pro, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
That's
what
been on it.
Your money.
I think that's the show where Lance was hanging out with Dennis Stamp.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly it.
Why would you start a wrestling company? That don't make no sense.
Well, if you got a passion for it, I guess you do it. But
I got a passion
anyway.
For it, but I ain't going to do it even if I had the money.
I would like to one day put on a show, but that's really it.
If I had shitload of money that I could just throw away, I'd just, like, and could afford to put on one show, I'd probably do that. But
yeah, exactly.
I had, like, the greatest indie show booked, but then Dave put the kibosh on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll just have to run
I can't blame Dave. It's not like Brian would be a draw. You know, I wouldn't have no faith in Brian making any money, so.
What are you talking about?
Well, it was talked that we were going to put on a little show at the Vegas convention this coming year, and then when Dave heard about it, he put the kibosh on it.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently there's a lot of shit, hassle that goes into putting on a show or something, and I don't know. Dave is just worried about it, and Brian's, you know, Dave's fucking gopher, gets his cup of coffee and everything, so Dave says something, Brian's going to back him.
Yeah. Well, I one day would like to do a big indie show in this area and actually fly some guys in and get the best local talent that we have and bring up some guys from Oregon and let them work and I would one day like to do that, and maybe it would even be a. You know, like a PWG where people fly in to see it if the matches were decent enough.
Now, speaking of something like that, is Roland Alexander on the news topic?
No.
I do have something in my news segment about it, so we can talk about it then.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. I am a little appalled that it wasn't included in the news, Couture.
Oh, well, sorry.
Even though he did book Brian Alvarez one time, I mean, you know, he deserves a little credit. Pussy Christ.
Yeah. We'll get to that later. Trust me.
All right.
Okay. Lastly, in TNA news, the TNA Turning Point, quote-unquote, pay-per-view events,
so
I guess it is. Not really a pay-per-view.
Impact show. Impact.
Yeah. It's the Turning Point Impact show. So it's going to be on Impact, but it is going to be called Turning Point since they're only doing four.
The Turning Point Clash of the Champions.
was it scheduled to have been a real pay-per-view at one time, or they just made the decision?
Well,
it was
a pay-per-view before they.
Yeah. I know
went
it was
back
a pay-per-view,
to four.
Okay, so when they went back to four, was it going to be one of the four, or did it get dropped off?
I don't think so. I think it just got dropped off.
Yeah. Move.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, that is going to take place on the 21st of this month. It's going to be at the Impact Wrestling taping at Universal Studios in Orlando, going back to their home base. The three matches announced so far are a TNA title tournament bull rope match between Bobby Roode and James Storm. Couture wrote, the end of Aces and Eights versus Anderson Leaves TNA, Bully Ray versus Mr. Anderson.
I hope it's a double pin.
And the
one could only hope.
In the TNA title tournament, Samoa Joe versus Magnus. There you go. That is it for TNA news. In WWE news, I'm sure Ed is chomping at the bit for this. Total Divas returns on Sunday.
Yeah, that's going to be so awesome because it's, you know, the best new TV show on all the TV. I mean, it's five star television, and anyone who doesn't
sure.
like it is just gay.
Gay, you said. Okay. Total Divas returns on the 10th of this month, which is, if you're looking at your calendar, this next Sunday. Which is why Eva Marie is getting pushed on television and looking very hot in a little black number on Monday night. There are more women's matches on television. This season is built around family strife as Brie and Nicole have to watch their boyfriends fight at SummerSlam. Also, Natty wets her pants in a match. Brie gets upset because Cena's injury means Brian's schedule gets worse, and she never gets to see him. All this and more on the E! Network this Sunday
She's
night.
She's on the same
Total
show.
Deep. What?
She's on the same show as him. She don't ever get to see the guy.
I hear you.
She's just probably mad because she probably is not able to get laid as much as she used to.
Okay. Again, send your emails to OverTheTopRadio@gmail.com. An update on Roman Reigns and his face turn. As of this week, the Reigns turn is scheduled to be fast-tracked as they are looking at him for being the new golden boy of the promotion.
I could have swore I heard good. that was put on the back burner.
Depends on who you're listening to.
Dave.
I'm listening to Dave Meltzer.
Yeah. Well, that's what Dave said.
Well, I think
yeah.
it comes from the Observer, what Craig just said. So
yeah.
Well, Dave backtracked because they did talk about it being that they're going to put it on hold and not do it on one of the radio shows.
I really like Roman Reigns. I don't know if I want to see him in singles matches yet, though.
I know. He's got what they're looking for. I think he's going to be a big star.
I think so, too. I can.
Yeah,
you know,
and I just hope they do it a little slow because they do tend to rush things. Usually when they rush things, it'll be awesome for, like, the first couple of weeks. But then once that first little angle happens after that, they kind of, like, lose focus or don't really know where to go. And then the guys usually suffer. So I hope they hold them off for a while. I mean, he shows glimpses of greatness. I mean, how many times has he speared somebody that looked incredible? Or, like, you know, he's stands up to all the baby faces by himself. He's just, you know, he's a, he's going to be like the next Batista, I think.
That's I kind of see that. And kind of see, you know, like when they were, well, they weren't really teased, but he was given like Ambrose some of those bad looks, you know, when he said that he was the only one that had a title, still in the Shield. He kind of reminds me of when Batista, you know, Hunter was doing all that stuff, and you could see Batista wasn't no dummy. You could see Hunter was fucking with him, but it just, but it was just like a long storyline and eventually paid off, so.
My favorite part like was the one where they had, what's that old man that Jim Ross worships? Danny Hodge. They had Danny Hodge, and they, remember they, Danny Hodge jacked up Triple H, but they jumped him, and then in the back, Triple H is all bragging, and Batista's all, you beat up an old man? You know?
Yeah, you can just see Roman Reigns, like, he just, with Ambrose, just, like, rolling his eyes when he was talking about he's the only one with the championship left, so. Anyway.
Yeah, it's very subtle what they're doing right now, and if they pull the trigger on it, I'm hoping they wait at least a couple months, because I really like the slow burn. And did I hear right that he's Rosie's brother?
Yeah.
He's one of, it's related somehow.
Okay.
He's a cousin of Rock.
Dude, all Samoans are related, dude. Okay, they started off with like two or three thousand. No, I'm serious, because I worked with this one Samoan supervisor at UPS. He was a boxer, and every Samoan that ever lived was related to him. Like, he'd always talk about how The Rock was his cousin on his dad's side, and this and that. And then I remember when the Pittsburgh Steelers won the Super Bowl that first time, and Polamalu was like kind of like a star. I was like, hey, what'd you think of that Samoan on the Steelers? He's like, oh, that's my cousin on my mama's side. So, you know, they're either related on their dad's side or the mom's side, but they're all related somehow.
They do fuck off.
Huh?
Just starting to fuck off.
Who are you telling to fuck off, me or my supervisor? Old supervisor?
No, you should have told him to.
You should have told him to.
He was a fucking boxer. He would have fucking, like, knocked me out.
Oh,
the dude was like, remember one time he took off his shirt, the dude was like ripped like a motherfucker. So I was not fucking with that dude.
Okay, and our last news story of the night, an update on Rey Mysterio. Regarding Rey Mysterio's return after he tested himself out on the Mexican tour, it might be a few more months away. Mysterio needs to strengthen the quadricep muscle to compensate for the knee damage. Right now, the muscles are very weak. He tried to work on it in Mexico, and it was clear that he was not ready. He did an interview with the Miami Herald and said he hoped to return either the end of this year or early next year. Unlike the past in WCW and WWF, where there had been heavy pressure on him to come back at the time, at the times, earlier than doctors wanted him to, while he was out, Triple H has been on very good about telling him not to rush things and putting zero added pressure upon him. So, Rey Mysterio continues to heal.
He doesn't need a rush. He needs to retire.
Yeah, and again, when we get to my segment, I got a little more stuff about Rey Mysterio.
I give him 3 months. When he comes back, I give him 3 months. And he's down again.
I hope you're wrong, but he has been getting
hurt.
And
he also is a risk for a third failure at some point.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, I mean, so is Randy Orton, but it's like they've kind of forgiven him a little bit.
But you just use him for, like they would do, you should just use Ray like they do Jericho or RVD. It's like every 3 months, bring him in for a short run or something. Give him a few months off.
Yeah, but even then, I mean, it's not like it takes, one day he's going to hurt himself just stepping off a curb or something. You know, those knees are just fucked.
Agreed. agreed. They still haven't found their Mexican superstar yet to replace him. I mean, Alberto De Rio's great, but he's not exactly the fan favorite that they were hoping for.
I think Cora sucks, so.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Quincy is coming back.
Who?
Sure.
Quincy. The other Mexicans they made into, or they got some Mexicans except they're really Puerto Ricans now, so.
No, the bull, El Torito, whatever his name is, he's Mexican.
Oh. Sure.
Yeah, he's an important one.
He's almost
Mentor Junior.
Yeah. Okay, on to our new segments. Petrera, why don't you go first?
Okay, what I was going to do, I was going to pick out just like an old observer from, from this week, from like many years ago. I'm just going to like touch on like some few of the top stories going around like during the territories at that time. So this week I chose I chose 1987. So we're going with the November 2nd 1987 edition of The Observer.
How many years is that?
Huh?
How many years is that?
87? That's a lot of years.
26, right?
Close. Yeah, that's fine.
Let's see. We're starting off with Jim Crockett. It says Jim Crockett Promotions' official second pay-per-view event. It was probably I think it was actually the first one that more than five people got to see. will be on January 24th of 1988, coming from the Nassau Coliseum in New York. And be the finals of the Bunkhouse Stampede. Involve all the wrestlers who win the Stampede. They'll be held in December through the first 2 weeks of January. Plus, Dave guesses that they will get another big unification match between UWF and the NWA, which did not happen. What were you saying?
Well, for people who are under 26 and don't know what a Bunkhouse Stampede was, basically is every show, every house show, they basically had a come as you are, like dress however you want, battle royal, and everyone came in their jeans and T-shirts or Zubas, and, they just, basically every city, everybody got to win one.
Yeah, pretty much.
It culminated in a cage match, right?
And then all the winners got to lose to Dusty Rhodes in the finals.
And then it was a battle royal, and the finals was still a battle royal, but it was a battle royal in a cage.
Yeah, right. Fucking stupid.
Which is just as ridiculous as it sounds.
You know how awkward and stupid it looks trying to throw someone out of the door of a cage?
Yes.
I mean, at least the Barbarian at the end went over the top, but still. Get to see a bunch of people crowded into this one corner of the ring trying to shoot somebody at the door.
Didn't Luger pull out Arn Anatelli?
Yeah. They were trying to get Luger out, and I think they all three went out at the same time. It was. I'd rather go over top rope to the floor in a regular battle royal.
Absolutely.
Instead of tumble out some door, I might crack my back on the steps or something.
Uh-huh.
Jesus.
Just remember that somebody had a weightlifting belt, so they started using the weightlifting belt as a weapon. And I'm pretty sure that at some point, I don't know, I'm guessing accidentally, Ivan Kohal kind of like the little fucking thing that goes in the hole basically got stuck into Dusty Rhodes' arm.
Yes,
and it was a pretty gruesome, bloody match. I mean, Kohal and Dusty, They bloodied each other up pretty good. And then Barbarian was, you got to give Barbarian credit. He went over the top cage like a champ, dude.
Yeah.
You know, he actually did a good job. I mean,
Dusty thing reminds me of I think it was the first Great American Bash of 86, and Wahoo was supposed to blade, and he got his blade stuck in his forehead. Couldn't get it out. His blade stuck in his forehead for the strap match with Jimmy Garth.
Yeah.
And they almost said a fucking showdown.
Yeah.
What happens when you get those old dudes with all those gig marks in their head? It's just, I can imagine that Fraser Black got stuck in your forehead. Maybe Abdullah. Abdullah would go to Vegas and he'd like stick chips in his forehead while he's playing blackjack or something, just to freak people out.
What a better place to hide your blade.
Right, giving you meaning to the word headbutt.
Yeah.
Or the assassin when he had that disc that he stuck in his mask. Remember when it had, see the outline of, it looked like he was holding a condom for Andre the Giant in his head or something like that. I don't know what it was.
It looked like he had a diaphragm in his mask.
Yeah, that's right. like when Dusty Rhodes, I think Bobby Eames say Dusty Rhodes, see, what's he got a yo-yo in his back pocket? You know, he's redneck. He always got that round can of Skull in his back pocket. It's worn the jeans. It's worn the color out on the jeans. It's been back there. He's stuck it back there so long. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Let's see. They had on October 24th in Philadelphia, in front of 2,500, they had a show. Let's run down the results real quick. So Bugsy McGraw and T. Joe Kahn. That's terrible.
That sounds like a million fucking stars, dude. Bugsy McGraw is awesome.
In 10 minutes, which Dave says was 11 minutes too long. Mike Rotunda.
Dave has no credibility. Who's Dave Meltzer?
Mike Rotunda pinned Rick Steiner. That's a great action, but too slow pace. Jimmy Valiant beat the Warlord via DQ. I can only imagine.
I
almost have a perverted side of me. I almost wants to watch that. Jimmy Valiant and the Warlord.
You know, it would be awesome.
Let's see,
you know you want a boogie-woogie deep down in your heart.
I like Jimmy Valiant. I just don't want to watch him work. I just want to listen to him do ball interviews. I was watching last night, I was watching some stuff from 86, and Paul Jones beat him and shaved his head. But he took it like a man. Just sat in the chair.
He looks
and
stupid, too, when he had his head.
Later on in Starcade, he puts up Big Mama's hair against Paul Jones. Luke Williams and Johnny Ace went to a 20-minute draw with Michael Hayes and Jimmy Garvin. Johnny Ace was subbing for Butch Miller, who had knee surgery or something. It was a good match. What else? Mighty Wilbur beat Ivan Koloff via countout. Remember?
Wait, who? Mighty Wilbur? Was that wasn't Solomon Grundy, was it?
No, not.
Okay, who was Mighty Wilbur?
He was some guy Red Bass Scene trained or something. And
Well, that's basically what he was. He was just a big fat country boy. He's what?
Yeah, he said he was a country boy, and he was a grape picker from Hayward, California.
Hmm.
He was picking grapes when Red Bass Scene found him, and then Paul Jones brought him in. He kept talking for weeks about Mighty Wilbur's coming in. And all of a sudden, this hillbilly shows up, and he's shaking hands with all the fans, doing the, you know, the nice hillbilly gimmick. He called Paul Jones Puddinhead, you know, like a nickname. Hush Puddinhead. So that didn't last for long. And then I think he broke his leg in one of the Buckeye Stampedes, went over the top rope. Of course, he was about like 6'8", 400 pounds, about as big as like Uncle Elmer. So. That was about it for him, pretty much. And afterwards, Paul Jones and Ivan Koloff double-teamed him until Rotunda made the save. Same pinned Eddie Gilbert. Lots of good moves, but slow paced. Midnight Express beat the New Breed in 10 minutes. Cornette hit one of them with a tennis racket. Last 3 minutes were excellent, but the first weren't very good.
I guess Royal was in the first part and Champion was in the second part.
And Flair defeated Nikita Koloff over the top rope DQ in a bout which lasted more than 25 minutes. That's probably
that
good.
Was the standard NWA title match where Flair, he keeps the title because he throws the guy over the top rope. I hated that rule back then.
And all the fucking dust finishes.
It wasn't just that. I mean, wherever Flair went, they had to do that, basically, you know, that finish. You know, they might let the local guy get like the win an untitled, like a non-title match.
Non-title.
But when it came to the title match, he always got to keep the title because he always threw the dude over the top rope. I don't know how many times I saw Kerry Von Erich go flying over the top rope.
Or you know how many times was Dusty won and then the second referee came in. That was like every night when they did it. So he was a
they, yeah, I remember they did that here in
part.
Town. I remember my dad used to tell me when we were going to the show, he's like, don't get mad when Ric Flair doesn't lose the title. Why is he going to lose it here in San Antonio? And then Dusty wins, and I'm all excited, and then they change it, and then I'm all mad, and my dad's like, I told you, don't get mad.
Well, how many times do you see the Horsemen jump in on a Flair match, you know, when you were growing up? All the time.
Yeah.
Yep. He was a poorly booked world champion.
Yep.
Even though I think he's probably one of the best world champions, he was not booked well. I mean.
Yeah, he was booked like the opposite of back when, you know, Luke Dez and them were champions. Even
Hulk
Harley Reid.
Like the best booked world champion. He beat everybody right in the middle of the ring.
Yeah.
With the legs
cool.
Every night.
Yeah.
Let's move on over to the CWA. That's Memphis. That's the Championship Wrestling Alliance. And there's a big bunch of people leaving, as was normal back then in Memphis, where you stayed a week or two. So you got tired of making $25 a night. Brickhouse Brown, Don Bass, Pat Tanaka, Paul Diamond, the Nasty Boys, and Tracy Smothers all left. Brown and the Nasty Boys' departure was expected as Brown got great heat but couldn't put fans in the seats while the Nasty Boys wrestled more like the Nasty Girls. Smothers planned on leaving for Continental to reform his team with Steve Armstrong, and Tanaka was bounced after a disagreement with management. Bobby Jaggers won the tournament for a Southern title on 10-19 in Memphis. Manny Fernandez is headed in as a heel. The Midnight Rockers are coming in, probably going to feud with the RPMs. And Hector Guerrero and Dr. D defeated Jerry Lawler and Bill Dundee for the AWA Tag Team titles in Memphis. And I don't think the AWA knew about it. They would do that in Memphis. Like they had a few weeks reign as the World Tag Team Champions, and they would just do like title changes weekly, and they wouldn't even tell the AWA they were changing their titles. And would never recognize anywhere else in the world. So.
Now, the Dr. D, is that David Schultz? Because this is like a few years
no,
after.
No, this is
like
a man called Dr. Diablo. So.
Oh, okay.
So he was teaming with Hector here.
I was going to say, you know.
And we got some world-class news. Big news from here. Or as Dave says, we got some suicidal news from world-class. Is that... Oh. The group has booked dates around the country in the UIC Pavilion in Chicago 2 weeks after Starrcade, Pittsburgh Civic Arena, Sam Houston Coliseum, Birmingham, Hollywood, Florida. Yes, this was not a wise choice on World Class Sports to book all these at this point in time. And the Omni in Atlanta. Yeah, right. No good draw there. The Hollywood card is billed as Al Perez against Matt Bourne for, and listen to the name he has for the world title. He calls it the worthless title. Because, you know, it's Dallas Fort Worth, so it's worthless. It's a worthless world title. So, Dave's already doing good shit like that.
I got you.
Kevin Von Erich against Brian Adias in a death match with Kerry in the corner. Why do you want to put a Von Erich in a death match?
I could tell a bad joke right here, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, you better not, damn it.
Head RCD against Tony Atlas.
Ooh.
Dude, was this what Tony Atlas was dressing like, Superman?
Yeah, he's a black Superman, Tony Atlas.
Yeah. That was an awesome costume, dude. That was awesome.
Bruiser Brody versus the Iron Sheik. Mother God.
That had to be fantastic.
Yeah, this was after, because he wasn't with Titan anymore because he and Hacksaw got pulled over on the Jersey Turnpike with their drinking and driving and with their weed.
and they were supposed to be feuding at the time.
That's right.
Mill Masters versus Frankie the Thumper Lancaster and Eric Embry versus Sweet Brown Sugar Skip Young.
Sweet Brown Sugar was actually pretty awesome.
The only Sweet Brown Sugar that was awesome was Coco Beware in Memphis.
He was so much better than Coco Beware, dude. He had, like, one of the greatest drop kicks in all pro wrestling to this day. But you said Frankie Lancaster against who?
Frankie Lancaster against Mil Máscaras.
Mil Máscaras was totally awesome.
You must be insane if you think Skip Young was better than Coco Beware.
He was. Coco might be more famous. Skip Young is better, dude.
Craig, who's right, mate?
Craig never even heard of Skip Young.
I heard of him. Never seen him work. With that said, Coco Beware was pretty horrible.
Coco Beware?
Yeah.
I went and got 30 minutes with Ric Flair a couple weeks ago. He was awesome.
Okay. Well, now, granted, all I saw him was in WWF.
I'm sorry, y'all don't like the black. I think you have to get over this in 2013.
Oh, just the fact that you referred to them as the blacks.
That's what they are.
That's a lot.
You spend some time down south and you'll hear words.
I prefer darkies.
Yeah.
I remember when Nail said this to the guy on that Ultimate Fighter was some kind of darkie. I remember when they reviewed that show. Do you remember that?
Wow.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Let's see. Looking at some stuff from Titan or WWF. It's like Titan is suing Tom Zink for $100,000 for breach of contract. Because he quit in the middle of the big push with the Can-Am Connection. And that's how Strikeforce was formed, Craig.
Thank you.
Give us the members of Strikeforce.
What's that?
Give us the members of Strikeforce.
Oh, that was Tito Santana and Rick the Model Martel.
He was not the model. You're wrong. It was Rick Martel. He had not done that gimmick. So, you're wrong again, as usual.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Let's have that for another 4 years.
Second Slammy Awards is air in late night slots on December the 19th from 11:30 p.m. to 1 a.m. I remember they say a Slammy Award because they had like XL Duggan and Harley Race brawling throughout the back for like the whole show. And they brawled into the women's locker room, and this old lady with a ruler chased Bobby out while smacking him on the head with a ruler. And then a llama. Then out of nowhere, a llama showed up. So,
I see.
I don't know what was going on with that.
Is that the show where Vince was in that colorful tuxedo and it was like the puffy shirt with all the colors and was dancing and singing?
Oh, Stand Back?
Yeah, Stand Back.
That was awesome.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm very sure. It was 10 shades of awesome.
Like, a few years ago, DX played that to, like, embarrassing. Played
that
video.
Yeah.
I remember that video. You had, on the trombones, you had, like, the Macho Man and Brutus Beefcake. And Jake the Snake, and Hulk Hogan's playing bass guitar. That was tremendous.
Yeah.
Just look at a card in 1019 in Portland. I guess it's Oregon. I don't know if it's Oregon or Maine. I don't even know if they're in Oregon at this point. As the Ultimate Warrior, and Steve Lombardi. This was rated a dud.
Sure.
Warrior got a good reception from but the crowd was silent once the bell rang. Danny Davis defeated George Steele via DQ in 5 minutes. Boris Zukov, but he spells it Boris Zukov. BORE/US. Boris Zukov.
Who was Boris? Who was he before he was Boris? Was he Jim Nelson?
He was Private Nelson. He was when Sergeant Slaughter was, I think he was a heel in Mid-Atlantic, and he was like his private or something.
back when Slaughter was teaming like Don Kernodle. All I know is the man had a huge head.
Yeah, he did, and supposedly he's supposed to be the only person in the world who has, is supposed to have a copy of The Last Battle of Atlanta.
Interesting.
I don't know. Yeah, I heard that somewhere. Well, if they ain't found it yet, they ain't going to find it.
Yeah.
See, Bam Bam Bigelow being King Kong Bunny in 5 minutes with a splash. Billy Jack Haynes being Rip Oliver, so obviously this is an Oregon.
Portland, Oregon, yeah.
Ted DiBiase pinned Brutus Beefcake when Virgil tripped him. Then Brutus snipped the hair of the ref. Well, he wasn't going to get it from Virgil, so I guess that's the next best thing. Because it was a good match due to Ted. Randy Savage pinned Harley Race in a match in slow motion, but Race took good bumps. And the Islanders beat Reed Martel and Tito Santana in the best match on the card. Well, I believe that.
Yeah.
Islanders were an awesome team.
Yeah, they were pretty great.
Let's see real quick. Chris Benoit, we're going to go to Stampede real quick. Chris Benoit and Hiroshi Hase are leaving for New Japan for the Tag Team Tournament series. Cool. And while Shinya Hashimoto, a 20-year-old karate guy, who idolizes Akira Maeda, is headed in, along with Steve DeSalvo and Phil LaFleur.
Does Steve DeSalvo have that stupid arm wrap thing that he had on WCW that one match?
As the Minotaur, and he had the contacts where his eyes were white?
Yeah. I mainly remember that thing on his arm. Like, it was some kind of, like, gladiator thing, or so. It was like some leather. I don't know what the fuck it was, but it was goofy as hell.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Look, it's a little bit of Continental. Wendell Cooley departed and about to return to the baby face, it appears. Larry Hamilton will join Robert Flew and Jimmy Golden and Dutch Mantel to form the Stud Stable. Craig, give us the history of the Stud Stable.
Excuse me?
Never mind.
Yeah, I know.
They're held in a tag team tournament on 10/26 in Birmingham with the first-round matches have Ron Fuller and the Bullet, Bob Armstrong, against Mantell and Hamilton. The Midnight Rockers, who won't be there, as they've been fired, versus the Johnston Boyd and Mike Golden. Well, then why did you list them in this match? Okay. Tom Pritchard and Scott Armstrong against the Hunters. Ron Fuller and Jimmy Golden versus Danny Davis and a mystery partner, who will be who will end up being Wendell Cooley, who just departed. So,
Rick Casey.
Rick Casey.
It was Rick Casey.
Right.
Yeah, it was Rick Casey here.
Yeah,
he looked just like Rick, just a bit like a taller, younger version of Scott.
Was he supposed to be his brother or something? Is that what they would be?
Yeah, it was his brother or his cousin. I just remember when he left, he wrestled. This is when Sullivan had come in doing a devil worshipping gimmick, and they had him wrestle Lewin, and he had been like he was like the number two star under Scott, you know, the whole time. And then all of a sudden, Lewin came in and just like squashed him and beat the shit out of him and bloodied him up. And it was pretty much like a squash match on his last match in San Antonio.
Yeah, they gave Scott Casey another brother. Remember Steve Casey? It was in he was in World Class for a while. He
sounds familiar.
I know he wrestled there. He went to, like, the NWA. He wrestled, like, Great Muta at that Superdome Clash of the Champions. So, But he was billed as, like Scott's brother or something in World Class for a while. I think he feuded with, like, Eric Embry. It was, like, the light heavyweight championship. And so there's an ad here in this Observer. Pro Wrestling Camp, the making of a professional wrestler. You can order this tape. Is there anyone? The Fantastics, Tommy Rogers and Bobby Fulton. So obviously it's probably pretty good.
And I'm surprised you don't own it.
I don't want to be a pro wrestler. They get on drugs and they make no money.
That's right.
And they die. They all die early. I enjoy living.
Yeah.
Yes, this is, there's a little thing you can order here.
You can get the video. It's available in VHS or beta. It please allow 4 to 6 weeks for shipping. I remember allowing 4 to 6 weeks for shipping. Man, we lived like Neanderthals back then, didn't we? Jesus
yeah.
Christ. Now I can have shit 3 days.
I don't know what's more appalling, 4 to 6 weeks shipping or beta.
I had an aunt that actually had a beta player.
The only person in America, there are people who are listening, they don't know what the fuck we're talking about when we're talking about
right.
beta.
Yeah, these were the original VCR. It was just like a different version of a VHS player, except it was the tapes were like really
one
thick.
Head. One head.
Yeah, and they were really thick tapes, and they lasted. I think they lasted about as long as New Coke did. So.
No, they lasted for years because every time that you'd see something, it'd be on VHS or beta, and they were there for years, even though they probably never sold any.
It would be the equivalent of HD DVD instead of Blu-ray.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think we were worried about video quality.
You know why? You know the real reason why VHS beat beta though, right?
Porn.
Yeah, the porn industry.
Yeah, beta wouldn't put any porn videos.
And that's exactly the same way with HD DVD was a HD high definition DVD, and Blu-ray was also a high definition DVD, and pornography chose Blu-ray as opposed to HD DVD. And yeah, so you can see them floating around, their cases are red instead of blue.
And I've just heard like second and third hand about the porn thing. I have no first hand knowledge, so. Just wanted to let everybody
know. Yeah, Ed has right-hand knowledge of it, actually.
Dude, I still have a whole shitload of fucking VHS, because my dad owned a video store way back in the day, and we had a small adult selection, and they're actually in this room in this big case somewhere. I didn't have anywhere close to what Mexican Seafood sent Brian Alvarez that one Christmas, but
yeah,
there's a bunch of VHS videos in his house.
Well, if you're gonna be real something, that's the way to do it. Just send it to somebody.
On a wrestling related tip. Well, one of the videos has Jasmine St. Clair, of course, she's doing some kind of shooting fire out of her ass gimmick, and
wow,
it's one hell of a sight to see.
Yes, please send us your feedback at the address. Mentioned a little while ago.
Over the top radio.
I was going back to this VCR thing. I can't remember what years they became, like everybody started having them. Remember, was that just like the mid-80s?
Oh, I would say probably.
It was around 84, 85 when people started to get them. I wouldn't say everyone had them. All I know is that I didn't have one, we didn't have one, and then I saw a fucking ad for Lord of the Ring. And from Wrestling Illustrated, and I ordered the VHS, even though I didn't have a VCR, and then I remember we got it, and I made my dad go to Radio Shack and rent a VCR, and it wasn't cheap back then.
Yep.
And we did that a couple times, and finally they just decided to buy me a VCR, and it was around like that time in the 80s.
My 14th birthday, we rented a VHS player and rented Red Dawn and a couple other movies, you know, Swayze. And then my dad went and bought a VHS player and, no lie, paid $899 for it.
Jesus Christ.
Then there's no way, or there's no way my dad would have spent that much on a fucking VCR.
Yeah, they were ahead of the curve. I'll tell you what.
I bought one a few years ago for $200.
Yeah,
but it came with a DVD recorder inside of it too, so I could I could just do all that.
Before VCRs, did y'all ever have? We used to have like those old fashioned tape recorders. With like the 4 or 5 teeth, and then they're like about under a foot long, and I used to get the tapes would be like 30 minutes. And what I would do is I recorded a couple of movies just to sound on the tape because, you know, this is way before the VCR.
Right.
So I have the audio of Megaforce somewhere in this house.
I don't remember those, but I remember my dad had like a reel to reel projector for a while when I was a kid. We had like this Star Wars promo video of like the teaser trailer on reel to reel tape. I should find it and see what it's worth nowadays, but anyway.
LaserDisc, was that like kind of the first kind of like DVD thing? I vaguely remember LaserDisc.
Yeah.
You remember LaserDisc?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, barely. They weren't around too long.
This VHS and they opened the place where you could rent. I was at this little thing with my grandmother. I used to go stay with her like 2 weeks during the summer. And they just started renting videos at this place in Louisiana. And you just thought it was like the premiere of Star Wars or something. There were people rent lines around the corner waiting to rent a fucking videotape. Not even joking. And they think,
because
what videotape they got, they just like the fact they could rent a tape and go home and watch it.
Yeah.
I think there wasn't much of a selection left by the time we got there, so I just picked something out, and I think the first one I picked out was, like, I think it was Godzilla versus Monster Zero. That's how I became a Godzilla fan. Getting one of those old tapes and got hooked on that. So, yeah.
Well, speaking of tapes, to me, some people might say this is bad news, but I think it was some great news, is Blockbuster is going out of business.
I didn't know they were still in business, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they were, but they're closing all their main stores and their DVD as far as mailing. There's still going to be, like, videos, like, streaming subscriptions, like, basically, I guess, like Netflix. But as far as, like, actual stores now, they're all going down, and it serves them right. You talk about, like, basically them having a monopoly. When my dad had the video store, when we bought a VHS tape, like, let's say, Mortal Kombat, we had to pay, like, $65 for each VHS tape. So, you know, times that, you know, we got, like, five copies or six, eight copies, whatever. Blockbuster basically would get that same VHS tape for like $1 or $2. You know, they're making profit on their first rental, and we had to rent the damn thing like fucking 20 times before we made a profit on it. So they just, you know, they just strangled all the little mom and pop video stores and put them all out of business, and now they're out of business. So basically, fuck you, Blockbuster.
I guess how much home demands to, like, with all of these devices nowadays, really, like, places like Blockbuster, it's just kind of irrelevant now.
Yeah.
You know, you can have like a PlayStation, you can have all that stuff, you rent movies, and same with Xbox and stuff like that. The smart TVs like my mom has, so they don't need to leave your house.
Yep.
So yeah, that's going to wrap up my segment. Sorry if it went a little long, but
that's all right. Yeah, Eddie, did you prepare anything?
Well, basically, what I want to do, and I'll try and do it, I'll try and run through it since we got 30 minutes, and I'm sure you have a ton of stuff, Craig, is I watched the Shine pay-per-view. After I got into that Twitter flame war with half the roster from Shine, I decided to watch the Shine pay-per-view, and I'd like to actually kind of run it down real quick. It was actually a very, very entertaining show. It was like it built from the first match and went on, and it was really cool. And basically it started off, the first match was this one girl that's with Daphne, Solo Darling, who's this short little tiny really hot looking girl who didn't take advantage of her looks in this match. She came out wearing like a Shark Boy costume. And she wrestled this one, Su Young. And basically it was all comedy. Basically it was all biting fingers and biting ass. But it was a fun little match. And then Solo and Daphne got to dance at the end. But, you know, it was just a comedy opener, basic, simple opener. The next match featured Mia Yim, or Mia Yam, I'm not sure how to say it, but basically, this girl, and I'm sure you're going to scoff at me for saying this, this girl should win the Wrestling Observer Most Improved Wrestler, because this girl is fucking awesome. She can do all kinds of stuff. She's got some of the best kicks in wrestling, and she wrestled, it was a three-way against this this one girl from Spain, I think, or Portugal, Shanna, who was very attractive looking, and a girl from, I think, Australia named Savannah Summers, and basically the two of them, it was basically the two of them against Mia, you know what I mean? The two heels against the face, and they were going for a spot where they were going to give her like a double suplex, and she just kind of put the brakes on. And Mia Yim is not a big girl. I mean, she's in shape and tone, but she's not like a powerhouse or anything, you don't think. But she basically, she double, you know how like the Big Show, they go to double suplex the Big Show and he does the two guys? She basically double suplex these two girls. And it was just incredible that she was able to do that. And then she has an awesome like cradle pile driver that she just kills them. And she ended up winning the match. And she's, like I say, I think, you know, I don't think she'll get the votes because, you know, the women kind of get ignored in the Wrestling Observer Awards. But, I mean, really, from this girl has just, like, every time I see her, she just gets better and better. And, you know, she's wrestling, at the level of the cheerleader Melissa's and Cheryl Del Rey's. I mean, she's really, really gotten good.
Now, this is Mia Yim from ROH. She used to be with Prince Nana and the Embassy, right?
Yeah, you remember she super kicked Homicide at the Atlanta show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the very first time I ever heard of her was when we were interviewing Adam Cole, and he brought her up, and I Googled her, and I fell instantly in love.
Yes, she's very attractive, and she didn't get to wrestle much in ROH. Yep.
Yeah, but she works a lot now. There's a lot of these girls on that wrestle, you know, for Shimmer and Shine, and they work a lot, and she's one of them. The next match was Nikki Storm against Nikki Rocks, one of Couture's old favorites, the former Roxy from TNA. And
this her last match?
No, she's going to have one more match, but this is where she announced that she was retiring after the show.
Ah, okay.
And which is kind of sad. I mean, she's always been pretty good, and she's very, very attractive, you know. And even when she would have the shaved head, she was attractive, you know.
That's only the problem when she had the shaved head.
Yeah. She basically, you know, she was having a good match. She was winning. Nikki Storm's okay. She's, you know, kind of a new girl. She was doing okay. Basically, Mercedes Martinez came out and attacked Daphne and distracted Roxy, and so Storm got the pin on Roxy. But it was a decent little match. You know, it built. It was a little better than the first one. More actual wrestling, like say Roxy's very, very good. The next
speaking
match features the girls that I pissed.
Real quick,
oh, go ahead.
Speaking of different look for a woman's looks. Have you seen the latest Awesome Kong picture?
Yes, I will get to that. I will get to that because she is on the show.
Okay.
And the next match featured the girls that I got into the flame war with Nevaeh, Jessie Bella, and Sassy Steffi. And they wrestled Santana Garrett. I'm not sure what it was. I think it's Santana Garrett. And Amber O'Neil, who are like a tag team. And the two of them together have to be the prettiest girls in the indie scene. I mean, they could look. They can be at the WWE. They have that kind of look. I mean, Amber O'Neil is just drop dead gorgeous. Garrett is a brunette, and they're brunette and blonde, so it's a good mix. And, you know, their wrestling is okay. Garrett's pretty good. O'Neil is okay, but, you know, I think she's more looks. And they teamed with Leva Bates, who is probably one of my two or three favorite wrestlers in all wrestling right now. I love her gimmick. She basically does a cosplayer gimmick. And cosplayer, whatever it is. Basically, in Shine, she does she's more of a darker character. So what she did is she came out as the villain in Silent Hill, who's I never seen the movie, but It's this guy with this big pyramid, metal pyramid head thing, mm-hmm. and a big axe. So she came out like with that and had like a dress and blood, and she could be pretty scary. She's real pretty, but she can be very scary and intimidating, even though she's like a tiny little girl. And they actually had a good match. Basically, they beat up the baby faces, and then like Leva kicked ass, but then they still got the pin. They pinned Santana and won. I think I won over Navaya and Jesse Bella. They were retweeting my tweets and favoriting my tweets after the show. Sassy Steffi, not her. I think she's so upset about the muffin top comment. But anyway, I learned my lesson. Never say that a woman has a muffin top on Twitter.
So
the next match featured this one girl, Kimberly, who I'd never seen before. And she was okay. She was pretty. They kept talking like she was MMA trained, but I never saw it. You know what I mean? She never did any like MMA things in the match, really. And she wrestled Mercedes Martinez, who
right.
is one of the best women's wrestlers I've ever seen. This girl is just, she wrestles like a man. I mean, her offense is just like, her punch, she's probably got the best women's punches in wrestling. I mean, she's got like Dustin Rhodes punch, like, go Dust. And then she also, sells a real good at selling, even though she doesn't sell a lot because she's, a bigger chick. I mean, she basically looks like she's a female gang member who would kick your ass and stab you. And she's really good. The Kimberly won by a count out because Daphne, after Martinez had attacked Daphne earlier, had come out with to distract her with a couple of Solo Darling and a couple other people, and basically Martinez just walked off and took off. The next match featured the Shimmer Tag Team Champions. They're kind of like basically Shimmer and Shine are sister promotions. I think Shimmer would be the DVD video aspect, and then where Shine does the internet pay-per-view. So they're like a little different, but basically it's the same roster for the most part. But the tag champs are Kelly Skater, who's this really white girl from Australia, who's pretty good. I don't get her nickname. Her nickname's Rape Tank. I don't know what that means. But she teamed with Tomaka Nagasawa, or Nakagawa. I'm sure I said both of them wrong. But and they mm-hmm. took on one half of Maiden Sin, Allison Kay, who's about my height. She's a big girl. A big, pretty girl, though. And when I say big, I don't mean like fat or anything. She's just a big bone girl. But, she's got some size. And she was teaming with Eva Lise from the WWE, what was it?
Tough Enough.
The what?
Tough Enough.
Oh, yeah, the Tough Enough. The Tough Enough. And she's a tiny little Puerto Rican girl. And she is tiny, especially compared to her partner. And this was a really, really good match. Nakagawa is just an incredible. She was trained by Taka Michinoku. And she's just this incredible babyface in peril. I mean, she gets her ass kicked like nobody's business. and then her offense is really awesome, too. So they had, like, a really good match. Skater and her partner won the match. And then after the match, another one of the girls came out. Jessica Havoc came out and was confronting Allison Kay, saying that she needed to either choose, because Allison Kay, Eva Lise, and April Hunter and a couple other girls are like this faction, Valkyra or Valkyrie or something. And she's saying it's either you got to pick them or me, your best friend. And Allison Kay decided like to look like she was going to side with her friend, and she walked off with her friend and left her partner and her manager, April Hunter. And this led to like an angle later on the show. The next match features what Couture just brought up, Amazing Kong, and she wrestled Madison Eagles. And Madison Eagles is one of the top girls. She's from Australia. I think one year she was like ranked like the number one woman in the world. She's really good. I mean, everything she does is just perfect timing, perfect transitions. I mean, she doesn't wrestle like a girl at all. I mean, she's fantastic. Everyone's used to Amazing Kong wearing that gladiator outfit, you know, and being huge. She's lost. I don't know how much weight she's lost. I mean, she's still big. She's still a big girl, big, thick girl, but she's lost a lot of weight. She came out wearing, like, these tight pants, kind of like a I don't want to say a really tight top, but, like, you know, it was a kind of a nice top. And then she had her hair made. You know, she didn't have it all, you know, like she used to when she was a gladiator. She had her hair all done, made all fancy. She was wearing makeup. I mean, you would not recognize her. It was not the Amazing Kong you would know. It was now almost want to say hot Amazing Kong. I mean, you know, she's still a big girl, but
50 or 60 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, you'll see the difference. I mean, it's almost like a totally different person. And then, like I say, she has her hair done. She's got makeup. She's glamorous. She has, like, a glamorous look to her now. And she's still, you know, big enough to where she's still the monster. And they had a really good match. Madison Eagles, like I say, she's fantastic. I mean, she's really, really good. And Kong ended up splashing her to death. I mean, she's still big enough where the splash looks like it kills people. But, you know, like I say, not as big as she used to be. And I'm still in shock. I mean, it's still surreal seeing this. You know, you're used to that big over. You remember how and when her big boobs popped out on TNA and everything. Or in Karma when she was in the Royal Rumble. But she's, like I say, it's a mind trip seeing her now. The next match was Saraya Knight, who's the mother of Paige from NXT. And she's just as white as Paige. And she wrestled Jessica Havoc in a Last Woman Standing match. And Jessica Havoc, this girl, she's got like everyone knows how Sarah Del Rey has those big giant thighs and ass. Well, this girl's are like twice the size of Sarah Del Rey's. I mean, she just got these giant thighs and butt. And she's like, you know, a brawler, roughhouse, big girl. And Saraya Knight, she's not the biggest girl, but she's, you know, she's not small or anything. And they proceeded to have a fucking war. And there were unprotected chair shots that were like some of the rowdiest ones I ever seen. The Havoc threw the chair into a Knight's face straight on like they used to do in ECW. And she basically just fell into the front row, like slumped over into the front row. And then Saraya delivered a chair shot to Havoc that was just, like I say, straight on and rowdy. There was a little bar in this, like, building that was kind of to the side in one corner. And they fought on the bar, and there was a pile driver on top of the bar. That was fucking awesome. And they just killed each other. They literally, you know, fought like men and beat the shit out of each other. And then finally, Havoc's winning. She pretty much has it won, but then Allison Kay clotheslines her from back and turns on her partner and walks out on her best friend and goes back to her other group. And but it was a really good brawl. I mean, they were beating the shit out of each other. The next match was for the championship with this girl named Rain, and she took on Hirayo Matsumoto, and you might remember her from Atlanta as the girl that never stopped smiling, Craig.
That
almost killed Serena Deeb with that one suplex. Yeah. She's awesome. She does smile constantly, but when she is making a comeback, she does have a real fiery comeback and a lot of awesome moves. And they were having a really, really good match. This Rain, she reminds me of like a cheap, like a poor version of Victoria, kind of. And to me, she's good, but to me, she's missing something. But she also, I think, announced her retirement. She's retiring next month, too. But they had a good match. Matsumoto had it won, but April Hunter pulled out the referee, you know, and then they caused a distraction, and Rain got the win and beat Matsumoto. But then Daphne came out saying that she secured the next challenger, and brought out the next challenger, and that is the new and improved Amazing Kong. And it'll be Rain against Amazing Kong, and I'm guessing since Rain's retiring, she'll be doing the job and giving the title to Amazing Kong. But it was a really good show. I mean, it was like $15, I think, or $10 or $15. And, yeah, it was very entertaining. It was like just a good, fun show. Everything was built. Everything was a little different. And I highly put over Shine 14. And I will be watching the next Shine pay-per-view. And I think I'm going to start maybe buying some Shimmer tapes, unless Dave Prezik wants to send me some. You know, give me a hookup, Dave. You know, but yeah, you know, I strongly suggest, you know, it's not like WWE Diva Wrestling where it's either a cat fight or just really bad wrestling. There was some awesome wrestling. There's awesome wrestlers. I really think they Shimmer and Shine kind of get the shaft. I think they should get more coverage than they do. I mean, their wrestling is like right up there. I mean, they should get coverage kind of like ROH and PWG do. I mean, I'm not saying give them like TNA, WWE, but they should get a little more coverage on the Observer or the website. And I really think they deserve it. They work hard. And what my segment's going to be after this point, for the most part, unless I'm reviewing a show, is I'm just going to pick a girl and just give it like a little spotlight and give her a little pub here on the show.
Okay, and that leads me to my segment of this week. I have entitled mine just basically Tweets from Last Week. I have scoured Twitter and also Facebook and found some amusing and some very topical tweets or Facebook posts from last week. So Tweets from Last Week. The first one comes from Bushwhacker Luke Williams. It says, an old friend whom I have known for many moons and was very lucky to have caught up with him in the last 2 months, passed away. Roland Alexander. When you talk about West Coast wrestling, his name, APW and the Garage, will always come up as some of the greatest workers in the last 20 years has come out of his school. I just did a seminar there, and they have had at least two guys, I think, that will be in the WWE in the next 2 years. Talk about a passion for the business. This man had it, as the boys were his family. I could go on and on about Roland, but Marcus Beck said it, and all of that was needed to be said on his Facebook blog. I love you, Roland, and God bless and rest in peace.
It's a shame that Roland died. I mean, I'm the biggest Beyond the Mat fan. I've probably seen that movie more times than any person in this world. And I got to talk to Roland a couple times on the old Wrestling Observer Live on IATA. And that's pretty sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it was sad. So it's hard to find good, honest guys in professional wrestling, and he seemed like one of them.
Well, a lot of people do have the opinion that he's a carny because of Beyond the Mat. And, you know, if you're in wrestling, and especially a promoter, you are going to be somewhat of a carny. But, you know, I think those tears were real on Beyond the Mat. You know what I mean?
Sure. You're automatically seen as one, even if you know, just being a wrestling promoter. You know?
Right.
And you got to give him credit because he changed. You really got to give him a lot of credit for changing the independent wrestling scene, because the independent wrestling scene was dead at the time when he put the King of the Indies tournament together. And mm-hmm. By the way, I did get Brian Danielson booked on that tournament, by the way. And anyway, that, you know, that just took off that started ROH, basically. You know, you had Gabe and Feinstein, you know, back when mm-hmm. they were partners. Decided to start ROH, and it's basically ROH was basically a lot of the guys from the King of the Indies, and there was a lot of talent on that show. I mean, all the top guys, you know, were in Danielson, Spanky, Loki, AJ, you know, just Doug Williams. I mean, just a ton of guys. I don't know what the hell Brian Hours was booked on this show for, but you know, everyone else was awesome.
Always got to take a shot.
Yeah.
Our next tweet comes from Hustler2754. That's Rip Rogers for all of you guys. He has, if you aren't following Rip Rogers on Twitter, go do so now. This was one of my favorites from this last week. It says, Vincent Kennedy McMahon needs to bring in Richie Cognito for the next pay-per-view to be in Orton's corner. He can send texts and voicemails to Big Show.
Let me ask you a question. What the hell is the story with this Incognito? What the hell am I missing?
Richie Cognito was a guy that played for the Miami Dolphins, and there was a thing that came out this last week where he had bullied another player, and the voicemails are racist and inflammatory. Anyway, there's a word there that I was dropped out of my. Anyway, he's a horrible, horrible human being. So read up on it. He is a thug, and if you read the transcription of the text that he sent this player and the other things that have been brought up, this guy is just a dirtbag.
The other player who, as it turns out, is one of the offensive linemen, and it turns out he's gay,
yes.
And he left because he felt he was being bullied.
No,
he's gay. The article said that he was gay. Anyway, regardless, if I was this guy, I'd beat the shit out of this Incognito dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This dude is fucking huge and can bench press over 400 pounds. You know, if I'm that big, I'm not being bullied. I don't give a fuck.
Right. And he's done this more than just to this player, to rookies and stuff like that. I thought it was funny that the Hustler came up with a gimmick where he would bully the Big Show as well. Our next tweet comes from the @WWE. I was very surprised to see this. It says, is this the greatest pay-per-view event you've never seen? I clicked on the link, and sure enough, it was a link to a clip of a match with Rey Mysterio from the Worlds Collide pay-per-view. They actually acknowledged this pay-per-view, and I was actually shocked to see that.
Well, it's been in the tag match has been included on the Eddie DVD and then maybe a couple other ones. I mean, it is one of the greatest tag team matches of all time. That is probably the greatest pay-per-view most people have never seen.
It's very true.
That was a WCW. Well, WCW put that on with Triple H.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I remember
they
were doing the update.
And the thing is, I think the show could have been even better because the majority of the matches were single falls, and most Lucha matches are 2 out of 3, and the talent was so deep that I wouldn't have mind seeing, you know, Chris Benoit in a 3 of you know what I mean, a 3-fall match in his match and other guys. I mean, in my opinion, it could have been better, and it was already considered. It's already considered one of the best ones. I think it and the WrestleMania in Houston are considered like maybe the two best overall pay-per-views. At least for a while, that was the consensus.
I don't like that makes stuff.
Next tweet was sent out. Well, I'm not going to read this person's name, but I just picked this one because it would infuriate Ed. Starts off, well, today has definitely been a doozy. 2 epidural injections and in 2 herniated discs at 9 a.m. with a 6-inch long needle. Agony. Then they made me appointments for my 2 CT scans for Monday at 8 p.m. for my cancer nonsense. Then I had to get blood work done for my 2 CT scans. And I am such a wuss when it comes to blood draws. Horrible morning. But it got even better when I came home at 3 p.m. to find a bunch of boxes from Amazon. To everyone who sent me gifts, please write me and tell me what you sent, because I want the sender's info. I was not giving them in the boxes. I really need to know who sent these things to me. And send thank you notes and pictures, too. I appreciate, love you guys all so much. You definitely brightened up what was an otherwise really crappy day. Thank you. From Ed, who's this from?
from somebody who's making money off of claiming she has cancer, and until Dave Meltzer says he's seen the medical records, I'm going to be skeptical of. And I'm actually kind of glad you posted that, because, you know, since I've been unfriended and blocked, I've been out of the sunny loop, so I don't get the daily updates of her wackiness. And, you know, I'm sure she within 5 minutes of that tweet, retweeted her Amazon list so she could get some more free stuff. And,
real idiots out there to be sending her this shit. Don't do that, people.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
I died on that. Exactly. That was from today, by the way. Today. Okay, I got one more, and then we can wrap up. This is from Steve Austin, BSR. Oh, of course, Steve Austin. It says, slow night, Gold Ranch. Saw 3 young bucks and 8 does with fawns. To which Kevin Steen replied, saw 3 young bucks? How many super kicks? Not Nick Jackson. I laughed uproariously. So those are my tweets from last week.
Cool. Well, we got 3 minutes. Check out. Download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. So check out AngryMarks.com. You can also download and stream our show at blogtalkradio.com/Cotrere and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me on Facebook at Edward Laredo or Ed in San Antonio.
And you can check me out on Twitter. I am at Proper, my last name, P-R-O-P-E-R-J-A-M, Proper Jam. And follow me on Twitter. And, oh, by the way, one thing just for Ed. Ed, I don't know if you're following Mr. Scott Hall on Twitter, but in the evening he does this gimmick, and it's called Scott Hall After Dark. And some of the nastiest, dirtiest pictures you've ever seen in your life flood his feed. And, well, I saw one in out of my perverted friends. So there you go, Ed.
Actually, I don't think I've seen that. I'm going to have to follow Scott Hall.
Cotrere, go ahead.
I'm on Twitter at Cotrere35. I'm also have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/Cotrere. Get a bunch of old wrestling videos up there. If you go to my favorites list on my channel, there's a really good TNA did a documentary on the career of Jeff Jarrett. It was something fun to watch. Just goes through his entire career and talking about his wife. His wife had breast cancer. She passed away. And talks about the, like, Owen Hart and the night Owen died and a lot of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to watch something good, you can go watch that.
And once again, if you have any feedback for the show or just want to pop in and say hi or have any suggestions or anything like that, please contact us. That's overthetopradio@gmail.com, overthetopradio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening.
Cool. Well, do you have anything else you want to add to the show, Craig?
Yeah, real quick, Ed. Now, I got my mom set up on Netflix last weekend, and she's been watching. She's gone back. She's started watching Sons of Anarchy from the beginning, so they got all the seasons up on Netflix now. And I was over at her house the other day, and I was in the kitchen. I heard her laugh, and I'd never heard her laugh so loud in my life. And I walked in there and said, "What is so funny?" And she rewound it, and it was one where they introduced Chucky, you know, like the spontaneous masturbator.
Oh, yeah,
he
yeah.
He just out of nowhere, just stick his hand down his pants and start jerking off. And she tickled the shit out of her. She started laughing. So.
Yeah, and as weird as that creepiness has nothing going on this year. This year is the most creepiest Sons of Anarchy year ever.
He bit that man's nose off.
Well, not even that. It's just Tig and his new girlfriend.
They got to be a couple.
Yeah, I know. That's he's got to leave the group and get married to the transsexual. That's the only way it'll work.
Stay in the group and marry her. You can be an old lady. I told my mom watched that, and I said, I've never been so glad to see an old woman get her brains blown out in my life. And they were, what was it? Was it his mom or his aunt?
Yeah, it was his mom.
He was talking real bad about her, and Jack's just, he couldn't take no more. He just blew her brains out. And the other guy said, well, if you wouldn't have done it, I'd have done it.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of Netflix real quick, did you hear they're going to do 3 Marvel
Do what?
They're going to do on Netflix only.
Yeah, your phone's cutting out better.
They're going to do, of course, right now I can only think of one, but, of course, the main one, there's going to be Defenders, there's going to be some girl, I forgot who, and then there's going to be Iron Fist and Luke Cage.
Is this some kind of comic thing?
Yeah, because they're like comics. It's like they're going to be like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but on Netflix.
Oh. Okay.
There you go.
But before I was rudely interrupted, Craig, do you have anything you want to share with us? Because, you know, Couture couldn't wait for, 5 seconds for me to ask him if he had anything to talk about.
No, I think I'm good for the evening. We're good.
Okay. Couture, do you have anything else? Okay, and can't really think of anything right now. So everybody come back next week, and we'll either have something, a topic to talk about or news or something. We always pull something out of our ass. So everybody come back next week, and we will talk to everyone then.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the matrix, shit! Let's go hook him up! I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is off to play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.